There are a lot of folks that are involved in restoration, all the way from local organizations to universities who are conducting research and science, trying to understand what the impacts of the spill were and may be in the future, how best to restore our environment. And then, of course, we also work with government agencies whose task it is to repair the damage that BP caused to our natural resources. So there's a lot of processes going on that are complex and sometimes involve politics. But the bottom line is there are a lot of people who are trying to work together to restore this valuable resource.
Your group has a menu for marine restoration. Can you give us the nutshell version of what that's all about?
Yes. So, you know, one of the things that we realized early on is that when people think of restoration, they think of seagrass plantings and building oyster reefs and repairing marshes, but they don't exactly know what you would do to go about restoring the ocean. And I'm speaking facetiously, but that's, you know, how do you restore the blue water environment? And that was a great question, we thought, and an important one to answer. And so what we did is we convened a panel of experts along with some university research collaborative, and we asked them that question: what does marine restoration look like? And what they came up with is a suite of options that address ocean habitats for wildlife, that address fisheries, an important species that we rely on for our economy, and that address the ways that people use the environment. And taken together, it's a really good start at thinking about how you would restore this resource that we rely on, not only for fun and recreation, but also to support our economies.
You know, in the 2 years since the Deepwater Horizon spill ended, we've been hearing little bits and pieces about the health of the Gulf. What have we found out in the last 2 years, maybe about the dispersants and the effects on the fisheries and the wildlife?
Well, I think there's a lot of science that's ongoing, and there's a lot that remains to be seen about what effect dispersants had on species, as well as what effect they had on the way that the oil moved through the environment. What we know is that there's still a lot of oil out there. Hurricane Isaac put a bunch of it back on shore all the way from Louisiana to Alabama. So there's a lot of work to do, and it's important from a science perspective to understand what the impacts are, not only in the short term, because we are still very, you know, close into the oil spill, but also impacts in the long term. Just as an example, in Alaska, when the Exxon Valdez spill happened, it took 4 years for the herring fishery to collapse, and that's a concern. We need to be monitoring what's happening out there so that we can see problems and possibly avert crises.
Is there anything ordinary people can do to help this cause? I mean, in any way to increase public awareness or anything of that nature?
You know, something that's really exciting that's happening right now is Congress last summer passed what's known as the Restore Act. And what the Restore Act essentially does is take Clean Water Act fine money that BP will pay for spilling all of those millions of gallons of oil and bring it to the Gulf of Mexico for restoration. We don't have any money as of yet, but with that bill in place, all of the states are figuring out how they would spend those dollars to restore our environment, restore our economies. And there is a significant need for the public to put their ideas out there and to get involved. We all have something that we can do to make this environment a little bit better, make this place a little bit greater to live. And that funding is going to be one way to do it. But you have to tell your elected officials and decision makers, what kind of world do you want to live in? What do you want the Gulf of Mexico to look like in 20 or 30 years? So I'd say, you know, in the near term, that's probably the single most important thing you could do.
And a lot of the work you're doing is long term. We really didn't have much of a baseline, I guess, to work on to know what was out in the Gulf before the spill happened to compare to what damage happened from the spill, right? So this is kind of a long-term work in progress, right?
It's really strange because, you know, I do this work for a living, and I have to say I was shocked when the oil spill happened, when people were scrambling to actually figure out what was going on out there. We didn't have the data that we needed to understand what the impacts could be. So on the back end, you know, we can learn from that lesson. We can invest in science and monitoring. And, you know, yes, it sounds like it's not as exciting as, you know, building a new marsh, but conducting science and monitoring is what's going to allow us to understand if that project is successful and to plan for and be able to respond to future disasters better than we were able to with the Deepwater Horizon.
Bethany, any specifics you can give us as to what exactly you're working on right now?
Well, right now what we're doing is looking at what restoration projects in the marine environment, because of course I work for Ocean Conservancy, can really add and complement what's happening on the coastal side. There's a lot of really great ideas about coastal restoration. What we know is that you can't look at any of these ecosystems in isolation. If you're going to conduct, so for instance, I'll use tarpon as an example, which is a fish that a lot of folks around here like to catch and release. They spawn offshore, we think, but then they make their way into the estuaries to spend part of their life. And so if we want to preserve tarpon habitat, we have to do it both by looking at their spawning area and protecting the offshore environment as well as the coastal environment. And so thinking about how that connectivity plays a role and looking at restoration from that comprehensive perspective will really allow us to make a lot of progress in the coming years.
Okay, Bethany, anything else you'd like to say?
I think if we're going to make the best of this opportunity that we have here, which is came out of a tragedy, but it also is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to do some large-scale restoration, we all have to think about what type of legacy we want to create and how restoration can support the reason that we live here, the reason that we live in the Gulf of Mexico, the reason that people come here to visit. If we're going to do that, we have to think about restoring the coast, restoring the marine environment, and making our coastal communities stronger. And this is the opportunity to do that.
Bethany Kraft is Gulf Restoration Program Director for the Ocean Conservancy. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks so much for having me.